Your wife, I'm surprised
she didn't say, he was doing 90. 90. Do you want to hear some funny stories? You talk to my husband, he used to go repo cars. Never stole one, always banged on the door and said he was taking it.
I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin, Maryland Council for Monday, June 8, 2015. And this is our longstanding tradition. I'd like to invite everyone to please join us in reciting the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Our first item on the agenda tonight is the approval of minutes for the work session on the utilities fund budget on May 4th.
Make a motion to approve.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Hall to approve the budget work session minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Let the record show that all council members are here and the vote was, the first vote was unanimous. Next is approval of the final budget review work session, which was held on May 18th.
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Goyas to approve the work session minutes of May 18th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. That also is the unanimous vote. Next is approval of the executive session minutes of May 26th.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve the executive session minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, and the reason for the closure of that meeting was to consider the acquisition of real property for a public purpose and matters directly related thereto, and to consult with legal counsel to obtain legal advice on a legal matter. Okay. No free financial advice, right? All right, we'll take what you can get. Okay. Next, we have the approval of the regular session minutes of the Mayor and Council for May 26th.
Correction?
Certainly.
Number six, towards the bottom of the paragraph where it starts with Councilmember Goyas inquired about the credit card fee that we incurred by the town. The next two or three sentences leaves the impression to the reader and the taxpayer that the only fee that is going to be absorbed by the town is a dollar, and we had discussed ad nauseum the processing charges that also arise with those transactions, and I would just like to make sure those corrections and notes are added to the record, please.
Okay, would you like basically this online convenience fee and other processing of $1 and other processing charges will be absorbed?
Yes, sir.
There was a percentage.
It was at that time. It was 3.85, I think.
Something like that. Yes, I suppose.
It was quite substantial. What I've calculated out from what I've been given, it works to be anywhere from 3.85 to almost 4.
What you're talking about, percentage?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Well, why don't we put that in parentheses then?
That works.
That way.
Whatever's easy.
Yeah.
Whatever's easy.
It's not a problem. Is everybody okay with those changes as recommended by Councilman Goyas? All right.
Move to approve as corrected.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve the regular session minutes of May 26th as corrected by Councilman Goyas. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, thank you very much. Next, we have a presentation by someone we've known for many years, and it is, but under a new name. But don't let that fool you. It's the same guy, and we'd like to invite Steve Ashcraft to come forward. He's now representing Sandpiper Energy, and if you could also introduce.
This is Charlie Russell.
He's the manager of our compliance engineering department, and he'll be doing most of the talking tonight. By the way, thanks for inviting us. Good evening, Mayor and Council. And I have a few brief notes. It's kind of historical, but only take a minute or two, and then Charlie's going to do a presentation. He has a few pictures for the PowerPoint, and he'll be following the talking points that I believe you have a copy of.
There we go.
Uh-oh.
The talking points are on a great piece of paper.
Oh, this one right here?
Yeah. Everybody should have.
To give you a little background, Chesapeake Utilities purchased the assets of Eastern Shore Gas Company May 31st of 2013 and began operating the former Eastern Shore Gas Company pipeline systems as Sandpiper Energy. From 2003 through 2008, Eastern Shore Gas Company replaced about 28,000 feet of steel pipe in the town of Berlin, which made the town totally plastic pipe. Today, there's slightly over 100,000 feet of plastic main in the ground, ranging in sizes from 10 inch all the way down to 2 inch. The conversion of the Berlin from propane to natural gas by Sandpiper began November of 2013 and was completed July of 2014. During this process, approximately 800 residential accounts and 100 commercial accounts were converted to a natural gas. And with that short explanation of what's been happening so far in the past couple of years.
Made it sound like a piece of cake. It was that easy.
Just like
I
that.
I had the easy part of the job tonight. Turn this over to Charlie, and he'll go through his part of the presentation, then we can take questions if need be.
Okay. Good evening, Mayor and Council. It's a pleasure to be here as well. My name is Charles Russell. I'm engineering and compliance manager for Chesapeake Utilities. I've been with Chesapeake this literally 41 years.
Good
and I've been in various engineering operations and safety functions in the company. Steve asked me to be with him tonight and just kind of go over it. What we do in our engineering and integrity side of Chesapeake. First off, our system integrity, as Steve said, all of our mains are pretty much polyethylene in the town of Berlin. We do have a little bit of coated steel. We have a coated steel crossing of Route 50 there by Steve Decatur High School, and also Route 113 out here between Food Mart and the Atlantic General Hospital, that crossing there. It's actually coated steel and it's cathodically protected steel plate put into State Highway Administration standards. Both of those are part of the conversion to get natural gas here to Berlin itself. You have new cast iron or bare steel. A lot of things you see on the news and everything where something blows up or something that's new related to cast iron or bare steel. Maybe we have none of that in the Berlin system at all, which is a very good thing. During the conversion process, we replaced all the service stops on the risers, all the meter set piping, all the meter bars, new regulators, and new meters for all of our customers out there. So all of that was fairly replaced during part of the conversion process. In addition to that, like I said, the conversion process is completely done in Berlin. Everything in Berlin is on natural gas now. everything went very well in the process. We had great coordination with the town, emergency responders, and everything that we ever worked with. We worked very well during the conversion process. It was kind of a learning experience for us, but everything, we did our homework and everything went the way we wanted it to go. In the process, one of the things that as a natural gas utility, we're governed by FEMSA, which is Pipeline and Hazard Material Safety Act. The federal government have a lot of FEMSA guidelines, which we go by. One of the things we have to have is a distribution integrity management plan that we have for Sandpiper. And it addresses any known risk or threats to our system and any potential risk or threats to our system. Basically, your neighbors to the east have a lot more than you guys have to deal with. And we have plans for both our Delaware system, our Maryland system, and for sand pipers, and the number one threat for every one of them is excavation damage. You know, people digging to our lawns, that's our number one threat that we have to deal with. And the unfortunate part is most people do call and get a request. The line is marked correctly, and just do not use prudent excavation practices. And you think of John Deere or Case Backhoe is prudent digging, so I'm not requesting a lot. That's one of the things we address, and we're very involved with Mishutility Delmarva. We have a permanent board member on the seat of Mishutility, and we're actively promoting Mishutility to everybody to call it to do here. Dig surveys. Prior to ending the conversion process, we did a leak survey on the propane system. Difference between propane and natural gas, propane is heavier than air. It settles. It goes to the lowest spot. Natural gas is lighter than air. It goes up. As far as leak surveys, major difference in it. Propane survey, to do it probably you have a bar hole on your facility every 20 feet, stick a probe down, take a lead, here 20 feet, do the same thing. It's very time consuming, very monotonous. On natural gas, as you can see, we have a mobile leak survey, or sorry, leak survey truck that our leak corrosion specialist Ryan Collins has done leak surveys of the Berlin system with it. He knows there's some funnels on the front, and you can see funnels on the truck. And if you do next slide, please. He has a laptop that shows all of our GIS, all of our mains in our system. And also that's the blue box there is actually the machine that actually gives the readout on it if you find something. This piece of equipment. Police chief over there, he's gonna think I'm shooting for him. But basically, this piece of equipment is for a walking survey. Puts the shoulder, just straps around him, you know, it carries it, and he just goes and he can walk back and forth. It has a laser sight on it, and he can walk back and forth. This is great for people, dogs tied to the meter set in the backyard like that. He doesn't have to take his life in hands to do that. So. This is one of the nice things about natural gas. Lighter than air, goes up.
I believe that you can shine that through a window.
You can shine it up to a chimney if there's gas heading out through a chimney as well.
But about how much is the range, roughly? You know, 100 feet?
300 feet.
300?
It shoots regularly.
Okay.
It's calibrated daily. It self-calibrates right in the spots. There's a mirror down here set at a certain angle. Before our lead guys go out, they check calibration of it every morning to know it's calibrated. Equipment's made by all of our lead equipment for our mobile surveys and walking surveys made by Heath and Associates, major manufacturers, lead detection. We use them for our propane surveys as well. We came in and had them come in and survey because it is labor intensive. That's what their expertise is, and that's what we're using it for. We do have Berlin scheduled for a number of weeks survey for the entire system coming up here, scheduled late June, early July. So you might see Ryan riding down the street or walking down the street with this device as well. So.
May I make a suggestion to let Mary Bolin
give her a call,
and that way she can put it out in all various media and things. And God forbid, if there is any emergency, she can also use code red, but I'm sure it won't be.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, sure. It's just a thing that sometimes answering a question before it's asked is a lot easier than after the fact.
He'll have a Chesapeake or a Sandpiper shirt on. I don't know if it's because he's a Chesapeake employee, but he may have one or the other on, but he'll have one of them very well marked. He'll have an identification. And he will talk. He will talk to you.
Good, good.
He is a talker.
Good.
Our leak surveys, our scheduled leak surveys remains at every 5 years with plastic and coated steel. That's a requirement, plastic and coated steel every 5 years. Services, we do every 3 years in conjunction with atmospheric corrosion survey. Atmospheric corrosion is exposed piping. We're in a, you see, atmosphere that attacks metal, rust, so try to keep our meter sets in good shape. So, appearance-wise, and also not rusting through the public. Okay. Business districts, like downtown, the Food Line Shopping Center, and I'm telling my age, I still call it the Shopping Center now. That gets done annually. We do all areas that have what they call wall-to-wall blacktop concrete. We just do, that's an annual survey we do as well. And also public buildings, all schools, hospitals, nursing homes, churches that have larger churches, we do an annual survey of their services and maybe in front of them as well, annually. And usually those surveys are usually done first quarter of the year is when we try to get these surveys done. Construction standards, again, we have annual for everything. This is our construction maintenance and operations maintenance construction manual, our ONC manual. Just been revised this year. It has all of our standards for all of our construction throughout the system. Any main construction or service installs, any maintenance work we do, all covered in that manual. All of our projects have a coordinator assigned to them, whether it's just installing a service to a house or renewing the main down street or extending the main. We have a project coordinator assigned to it who's responsible for the project. He's the go-to person if there's any issues or anything. It's, you know, he handles it, so you don't have to go to, you know, this or contract with this or that. We have one person to go to take care of any issues that we have on the project. All of our projects are inspected by Chesapeake inspectors. We have 3 inspectors in this area that randomly go out and check on projects as well. And our construction schedule also is emailed to the Public Service Commission every day. Our construction schedule is for the day. And they randomly come in. We don't know when they come. They just, you know, just come down here and check on the project. So that's another level of inspection on all of our work as well. Public awareness. Chesapeake does a lot of public awareness, trying to inform people of, you know, safety things about natural gas and propane, what to do if you smell it, all like that. One thing we do, this is last year's brochure, and you all have a copy, and hopefully you receive one in the mail if you live somewhere. If you live within an eighth of a mile of our system, you receive one, whether you're a customer or not. Basically, we take our GIS system, we have a contractor that puts this, does our mailing for us on this direct mail brochure. They go out 660 feet on each side of all of our names and services, get all the mailing address, property information, owner's information, and go out and do this direct mail. We do the content of it, they do the printing and mailing of it. We've been very pleased with it. This year, we have a, we did it last year with Sandpiper because the first year we had done it as Chesapeake. And this year we're doing another survey again to see how our effectiveness is of our public awareness on this. So this should be going out by end of the month for the 2015 version. It's in, there's a corporate communications league final approval. They had, last time I saw it, we had one glitch. It was a capital I, but it's supposed to be a small I. So, I mean, I looked at it so many times I couldn't tell.
Yeah. It's hard to proofread your own stuff, isn't it?
Yes. Another thing we do, this is a bill stuffer that goes out to all our customers. has a scratch and sniff in there, so everybody scratches it.
Can we protest that out earlier?
Like we're back in school.
But again, it also tells you what to do in emergency, who to contact, our critical numbers at Chesapeake. Basically, natural gas and propane smell the same, use the same odor, it's just an outdoor capping that's injected into it, so it's basically the same smell. Sometimes propane has a little, you know, the heavy ends have a little bit more sour smell. Pretty much smell the same. It's got a rotten egg smell. And if a woman says she smells gas, there's gas.
Very good.
Another thing we do, since this is a very seasonal area, from April to October, we run our ads in the Maryland Coastal Dispatch newspaper, and it's in there, tells also. Hopefully get some tourists or whatever vacationers down here that we have to do something, you know, to do something. We also have a booth at the Maryland State Firemen's Association Convention, which is coming up in a few weeks, and also the Maryland State Teachers Association Convention, which is in October. We have a booth that has handout information, what we have here, plus other stuff, to promote gas safety throughout the state. And one of the things we do have, and it's in both the bill insert and the direct mail brochure, all the gas companies in Maryland sponsor a website called www.citygasmaryland.org, and it has information for gas safety, different things, contact information for all the gas companies, showing the areas that the gas companies serve in Maryland, and has lesson plans for teachers, for early elementary kids, and then later elementary or middle school kids. Teachers need a lesson plan, kind of helps them out on that. And that's one of the reasons why we're at teachers' convention, try to get gas safety to children. And another thing, one other thing we do offer, our safety team offers safety, gas safety training to emergency responders, all the fire departments, and also the schools that want us. We have an explosion cylinder, it's always exciting to say it also. Kind of lights off a little bit, so, but it shows the lower and upper explosion limits of natural gas. It's very effective demonstration, so it's available for anybody that wants it, like say. We've done Berlin Fire Department before. Our safety team comes out and does a really good job. And some places they do live burns on propane. So they want to know how to put out propane fire. Hopefully I'm not boring you to death.
I have a question. Bringing up the part about the safety part, you know, we had that terrible accident in Snow Hill,
yes.
The Snow Hill Fire Department, and that kind of brought it to the front again. But I think the chief would probably agree that we need to get the message to the community that you'd rather a call come in of an odor of gas and go out and check and say there's no gas, that that's not a problem. It's better to be safe than sorry.
Please do. We have our 800-427-0015. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we have people on call. I do a rotation of the supervisor on call as well. Mm-hmm.
But you know, we all watched the news and they lost three, four blocks?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, I mean, it's a very important thing. And if you think you smell gas, just call 911. The best thing they can say is there's no gas. It's okay.
Charlie, I've got one thing just to throw out as an idea, and not saying it should or should not be done, but we just had a very successful second annual Touch a Truck Day down at the Stephen Cater Park, mm-hmm. and we had the various utilities for the town, including partners at the Berlin Fire Company, and they all demonstrated their equipment and also provided safety information. And the man in charge is over there, that's Tim Lawrence, and so
you all I'm suggesting is you might want to talk over a cup of coffee or something, and it might be a very nice compliment to that,
okay.
A very successful day.
I did see that in the paper, and I thought the same thing. I said, this is something we need to do as part of our public awareness outreach as well. So
now that you got the heavy lifting over.
I've got contact
person. Well, we'd certainly welcome you to talk to Tim and go from there.
Quick question on when you were talking about excavating. How deep, on average, are your lines?
Minimum we have to be is 24 inches in Maryland. We try to get 36 inches on natural gas lines.
Okay. And is there a particular color we should look for if we're doing something? I know calling this utility first, but I was just curious. That's all.
Just like I say, you call in this utility ticket. Our locators, like I say, you saw Ryan's truck had the computer screen. All of our locators the same way. They receive all our tickets live on their screen. They also have our GIS system, so they can flip flop between the two and respond to it.
The locators about put yellow paint on the ground.
Oh, I've seen that. They've done my yard.
If they dig into the line, it'll be yellow. If it's medium density polyethylene pipe, which is what most of the town system is, and if it's high density, which are usually larger diameter lines that are more of a supply type line. Although Chesapeake and Sandpiper have gone to using high density on everything now. It's a black line with yellow stripes in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the folks that came out and did our neighborhood, they did an amazing job. Very nice people that came in and, you know, took inventory of everything and then came back to do the installs. We were very, very pleased with them. Very pleased. So, good work.
Great.
So the black lines and yellow stripes that are going in up Fenwick Way, that's gas.
Yes.
Is that your company?
Probably so. We're the only ones using high density. All program companies are using medium density.
Yeah. So if I smell gas, my first phone call should be 911.
Call the first responders, fire department first. They need us, they get us there too. And for the most part, we're monitoring fire calls as well.
And tell me, these markers, mm-hmm. they mark an area where your lines are.
They're not. Basically, they're a notification to that there's a gas line in the area. Please call if you want to do anything. Our markers are not always over top our facilities because our facilities may be under sidewalks, under roads, so they're not always right on top exactly where they should be.
So
marker, and basically most of them are a locate point. Polyethylene pipe, you cannot locate. You have a tracer wire that runs with it. Basically, this is where they bring the tracer wire up to the locator, you can hook onto it.
So because I don't see a marker, I should not assume that your lines are not there.
You do not make any assumptions.
Could be your
basically, we put in a lot more line markers than we require. We put them in, especially in new developments. Things that people say, oh, I have a thing in my front yard. Well, once the development's kind of built out, we keep a few in there, but we can hook up to customer's service line to locate. It's usually when you got long runs out, like going from here out to the schools out on Route 50, there's no place to hook up to, so they have locate points out there to locate.
My other question is, the other thing I'm a stickler about is the information to people about having a carbon monoxide detector in their home. When they have gas, you know, and there's been a lot of problems with that. Do you have a program to make people aware that they need to have carbon monoxide monitoring in their homes?
We do cover carbon monoxide in this brochure. A little blurb in here about carbon monoxide.
And they are inexpensive now. I mean, you can get them, I think, anywhere from like $20 on up.
We would recommend you get a better one. Then you might get some false readings with it. Replacements, so get a reputable brand, basically, a Kid or
sure you can read some reviews on them online.
You know, I got one at Home Depot. It was like $50. Yeah, but they're very, like that battery better be fully charged or she'll start barking at you.
Well, thank you very much. It was very, very good,
very good
presentation. Very got give us a lot of information. All of us, I think, that we didn't know, and we appreciate it. And we're very glad you're here. And we it sounds like you're ready to serve whatever commercial or residential places come come about over time.
Yes, yes. Great. Pleased to be here. Happy to be part of the community, and looking forward to grow with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Alrighty, going to get ready to have a budget hearing on the 2016 fiscal year budget. And I could pass these each way. That way everybody can have a copy. Okay, we're going to pass them down. I'm just going to make a brief statement again. Just to update where we are with the proposed budget. Following is an overview of the proposed budget that is being presented tonight for public hearing and then the council's consideration for passage. The proposed budget is based on holding the current property tax rate at 68 cents per $100 evaluation. There are no increases in any fees for town water, wastewater, or stormwater utilities. The overall town budget for all departments for fiscal 2016 total $17.3 million. This represents an increase of 12% from FY 2015, and the breakdown of the proposed town budget is as follows. The general fund is $5.9 million, a 12% increase, representing $457,929. Most of the increase in income to the general fund results from increasing impact fees on new residential development within the town. State income tax revenues allocated to the town and increased highway user revenues from the state of Maryland. The electric fund is $5.5 million, which is a 3% reduction, or a reduction of $147,241. The reduction in cost is from power purchasing, reflected in decreases of residential and commercial electric sales. Next is the water fund, which is $1 million, a 16% increase, representing $149,120. Increase in dollars from special connection revenues generated by new upcoming developments is where that increase comes from. The wastewater fund is $2.6 million, or an 18% increase. Again, this increase is $399,992. We just couldn't come up with eight more dollars. Increase in dollars from special connection revenues generated by new upcoming developments. The stormwater fund is $2.2 million, a 69% increase, representing $901,900. And this is a result of increase in grants received from a DNR, CDBG, and FEMA for upcoming capital stormwater projects. Additional special connection fees to both the water and wastewater utilities in the upcoming year total about $550,000. This income is totally from new construction within the town. Berlin Stormwater Utility will receive a total of just over $900,000 in grants during the next 12 months, which will significantly accelerate and expand stormwater improvements planned for our town and will directly benefit both residential and commercial property owners. Town employees will receive a 3% salary increase if the budget is approved, and the town will incur no increase in health insurance costs for the fifth consecutive year. As has been the course of the past several years, I believe the overall goal of the fiscal 16 proposed town budget enables the town of Berlin to maintain a financially stable and steady course of services and continued incremental improvements in municipal services while allowing the town to continue to invest in infrastructure and property to provide permanent benefits to the community in the future. The budget is balanced and does not reflect any current or future financial distress for the town of Berlin in fiscal 16 or in the foreseeable years beyond. So now I'd like to open the public hearing. Now we have the public hearing on the proposed fiscal year 2016 budget. Is there anyone here from the state
or anyone here from the county who would like to address the mayor and council on this proposed budget? Is there anyone in attendance here tonight that would like to address the mayor and council on any aspect of the proposed budget? Hearing none, I then now close the budget hearing.
Mr. Mayor, before you proceed, if I may, on page 18 in your packet or paper copy of the budget, I just want to point out on the change that we have since the last introduction. Page 18, we have added a grant that will be received from DNR for the parks and playgrounds for replacement of the tennis courts at the Stephen Decatur Park. It's highlighted in blue, so that I just want to point out for the change.
Okay. And let's see. Oh, okay. And there's a change there showing the difference for the finance and billing software.
This is a carry forward from fiscal 15, since we will not be paying for the contract that we signed for Tyler Technology in fiscal 15. So we just budget in for 16 to actually have the expense recognized.
Basically, since we didn't incur the expense this
Correct.
Fiscal year, we would incur that same expense
Right.
next fiscal year. Okay. Thank you. Any other?
That's comment? All. Right. Thank you.
Is anyone on the council?
About the tennis court grants, because I think Mary applied for that for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
This is the second, the second time we applied.
Second?
Yes.
It was great, though.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Does anyone have any questions or comments concerning the budget?
Okay.
On the council, anybody? All right. Do we have a motion to bring the budget to a vote?
Sure. Make a motion we accept the fiscal year 2016 budget as presented and amended.
Okay. We have a motion by Council Member Purnell to approve the proposed fiscal 16 town budget as proposed. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Okay. Thank you. And again, thanks everybody, council people, department heads, and all the folks that came and provided information that are part of the grant process. Thank you all for a lot of work. Let's hope it all goes the way we anticipated. Next is item 4 is a public hearing on approval of ordinance 2015-02, refinancing of electric 2004A series infrastructure bonds. Who wants to have all the fun with that one? Okay.
I think I already mentioned last time, but I will just go a quick overview. Electric fund acquired bonds in 2004 for improvement in infrastructure for the electric plant. The time being, the interest rates going down, and we are in a good situation to refinance 2004 electric bonds with the better interest rates and save $250,000 over the remainder of 19 years going forward. So the ordinance to pass is to enter in refinancing and proceed with settlement. So the new series will be 2015 Series A bonds.
Okay. All right. And roughly, what is this? I think I asked this before, so I apologize. What is our savings over the period of the bond roughly?
We will see roughly $250,000 in savings over the remainder of 19 years.
19 years.
So we're just taking the balance outstanding and refinancing with the better interest. And we will be paying the settlement and the cost of the bond advisor out of the funds on hand. So we will not be adding anything to the debt additionally. This will give us a better credit rating from the bond side and also will save us money in the future.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Natalie regarding the adoption of the infrastructure bonds for the 2015 Series A?
Yes, Mayor.
Yes, yes, sir.
You didn't open
the public hearing. Oh, okay. Let's have a public hearing. Does anyone here from the state or anyone from the county wish to address the mayor and council regarding the proposed ordinance 2015-02? Does anyone in attendance tonight wish to address the mayor and council regarding this proposed ordinance?
Seeing none, I now close the hearing. All right. Does anybody on the council have any questions or comments?
I have a couple of comments.
Sure.
Of course. When dealing with this bond, I tried in vain to get the information I needed for this so I could run some ratios and some projections myself. But I could only go on what was given to me here because I was denied access to the information I had requested over a week ago. So when the numbers that I ran, it does come out to about $246,595, give or take. So Natalie is correct. I agree with her that that is about $250,000. My only problem with that is I don't understand why we're not using a local bank and going with a direct loan. So I went down to the Bank of Ocean City, who we use as a town, and I sat down with Harry Hammond and got information from Wayne and Benson as well. And they're willing to give us a loan below 3% with no closing costs, thereby increasing that savings to over $500,000, almost $600,000. Why aren't we doing that?
Mr. Gillis, we're not repaying the bonds, we are refinancing the bonds.
I understand.
Going in the future with the new capital projects, we are in, our intent is to go with the public bank solicitation and not acquire the bonds for the newer pieces. But as of right now, the CDA bond that we have in place does not have, per se, a prepayment allowance. So we are refinancing to save money in the future just to go forward with the same program.
So why don't we just pay them off?
You mean just take the money from reserves and pay off the whole thing?
No. Go borrow the money from the bank and pay the bond off.
At a lesser rate.
Is there prepayment penalties on?
We're not allowed to prepay. This is one of the bonds that we cannot currently prepay on this bond.
So there is a prepayment penalty.
It's not a. There is not an allowance to prepay. Yes, it's not a penalty per se. Just we have to continue with the program. That was the settings we received in 2004, and the, I guess, advantage we received to acquire the bond from CDA program at the lower rates at that time was beneficial for the electric infrastructure.
So what you're saying, though, is we cannot go that route.
We cannot go that route because there is no prepayment allowance, and the second, because it's we draw the bond to improve the electric plant. We're not purchasing something new. We just go in with the existing piece.
So if the mayor shows up with a check for $2.4 million, you mean to tell me they won't take it?
That's what my understanding right now, yes.
Can you show me or point it out in this document, which is the only document I have pertaining to these bonds, where I might find that? Because I didn't find that.
I can request the whole bond packet, which is pretty lengthy, and see if I can have it in PDF to email it to you.
Well, then I make a motion that we table this matter. It's too much money. It's too much money to make that decision on. That's why I requested that information over a week ago, and I was told I couldn't have it. So
the information that was requested was quite detailed and was not as simple as that. If you had asked that question, you could have gotten a much more immediate answer. And I believe that you were asked, what is there a problem? We'll find out whatever you need to know. And you refused to say that what it was about. That is not how we do business. It is not how we do business. We don't play gotcha politics.
That's
what you're doing.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are, sir.
No, sir, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Do we have the luxury of having time to
I'm sorry.
Do we have that luxury of delaying this?
The land.
Can we table this?
Can we table this?
No, this will not go forward if we table, because the set dates with our bond advisor, we will miss the date to enter the pool to refinance, basically. So if we are not proceeding tonight, it's basically we will not be refinancing or repaying this bond. It will just continue on as it is of 2004 Series A, unfortunately.
So now or never?
Yes.
Bond market rates are supposed to increase once the Fed adjusts the basic rate for, you know, the Fed rate. Nobody knows when that's going to happen. You know, it could happen in 3 months. It might not happen for 3 years. But bond rates are at their historic low, and that's one of the reasons we consider doing that now.
Do we save $250,000 by doing this tonight, or we lose the opportunity?
We will be saving in the long run, which basically we shorten the term of the bond. We basically, if you think about the mortgage, you refinance on your home. The difference is the bond was issued, and we have not advanced the full amount to improve the infrastructure of the electric plant. At that time, we draw as we go, as we need it for the project. So right now we are at the point of where it's almost gone. We have $156,000 left for AMI metering, and we're refinancing to lower the interest to go forward. Dave helped me out. I don't believe we can go to the private bank and take the money and pay all of it down because it's a Town of Berlin property.
If there are requirements from
CDA, which I'm not aware of either, but I'm not the town's bond counsel. We have bond counsel who we employ to handle all these transactions. Right. So I don't feel confident really giving an answer.
Fair enough.
So basically, you're telling us that if we don't do this, we lose the chance to save $250,000.
We will lose the chance to enter the bond refinancing pool with that particular interest rate. We will have to probably wait another 6 months because they only have the opportunity or the window at certain dates. We cannot just go in and refinance anytime we want to.
Well, I move to approve.
Well, we have a motion to approve the refinancing of the infrastructure bonds under Ordinance 2015-02. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. The motion passes 4-1. Ready. Next is item 5. This is a resolution of the Mayor and Council of the Town of Berlin setting forth that the Town of Berlin, Maryland commitment to obesity prevention and desire to be designed a HEAL community. And rather than go through this long thing, what is the essence of this resolution is that the town would be recognized for 11 specific activities that we have done and continue to do. One is the implementation of a committee of volunteer employees to address workplace wellness, to enhance the town parks facilities, including creation of low-impact walking trail, addition of fitness stations along the walking trail in Steve Mercator Park, as well as complete replacement and upgrade of basketball courts in addition to horseshoe pits in Dr. William Henry Park, built sidewalks along several town streets which previously had no safe pedestrian walkways, work closely with the State Highway Administration to add and improve sidewalks along state-controlled streets and roadways, as well as the installation of a countdown crosswalk on Route 113 to increase bicycle and pedestrian safety when crossing. The fifth thing was community-wide participation developed and began the implementation of a strategic plan. And as the number one priority was an increase in parks and recreation facilities. Six, supported the Lower Shore Land Trust in the development of a walkable, bikeable Berlin plan. Seven, entered into a memorandum of understanding with the Lower Shore Land Trust to support their applications for grant funds and to submit grant applications on their behalf. Where appropriate, including the 2015 Maryland Bikeways Program. Eight, contracted with Worcester Youth and Family Counseling to provide a youth program known as the Berlin Youth Club, which provides educational and activities, including health, eating, and fitness. Nine, provided materials to the Berlin Library for the community garden, which provides fresh vegetables to programs providing food to those in need. 10, passed an ordinance permitting and regulating the keeping of chickens on residential properties. And 11, hosted the Worcester County Health Department's Just Walk Berlin program at Stephen Decatur Park on an annual basis since 2012. And that's just a fraction of this thing. So,
Mayor, if I may, as you read through those, you think, what on earth do chickens have to do with sidewalks, have to do with walkable? The three aspects of this program are basically the movement of people, be it via good public transportation, bicycling, walking, nutrition, and workplace wellness. So that's how those different aspects all tie together under this program. The items that the mayor just read are things that we already have done or are doing on an ongoing basis. And then there are a number of things that we are proposing to do with this designation moving forward that fall into those categories of transportation, nutrition, or workplace wellness.
Mayor, I first heard about this in the summer of 2013 at the Maryland Municipal League. There's quite a few grants available for the towns. It's a Mid-Atlantic program. It's not just Maryland, it's Virginia also. And to move a little bit more on what Mary's saying, the HEAL is for healthy food, active communities, and workplace wellness. And more than half of the adults in Maryland are overweight or obese, including me, my Pepsi. And 28% of youth between 10 and 17 are overweight and working to be obese and have serious health problems in their life. And about $1.5 billion is spent in the state of Maryland alone for medical bills, workman's comp claims, and for lost productivity. And I follow Dr. Ben Carson, and that's the one thing that I agree with him, that one of the most important things for elected officials is to promote a healthy society. If we don't have a healthy society, that puts a big burden on everyone because we can't work, we can't support ourselves, and then that puts burdens on social programs, etc. So I'm very excited that, you know, we're now the right fit for this program, and I would very much like to make this motion to approve resolution 2015-08.
Okay, very good, thank you. Can I give you a very good summary there? We have a motion by Councilmember Hall to approve resolution 2015-08, the Healthy Eating, Active Living Cities resolution. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Item six is the Dr. William Henry Memorial Funding. There are two options that are being presented to the council by the Parks Commission. In your packet, there are two ways in which this can be accomplished, and tonight the council needs to make a decision on which way they wish to go. I'm making the assumption that sooner or later the memorial would be, we all want to have it in place. The two options refer to these. One, there's a potential for a grant through the Maryland Historical Trust African American Heritage Preservation Program for capital projects. However, their next funding round will not open until spring of 2016, or basically not quite a year from now. We would have to wait to move forward until after funding is awarded, as they will not fund retroactively. In other words, we can't do the project and then get reimbursed. And the second option is the Parks Commission's FY15 budget, the current year budget, can cover the cost and we can move forward immediately. However, we would not be getting, it would be very unlikely that we would get any grant reimbursement for that expenditure. So those are the two options. And do you have any comments or suggestions or questions?
We're talking about $4,500.
Yes.
Move to accept option two.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? We have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to move forward immediately with using money from the current budget to pay for the memorial at a total cost of $4,535. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, we'll have a departmental reports. Natalie, do you have anything to add?
Yes, Mayor Council. We have received a phone call from Tyler Software Technology. The contract was signed, and we're going for the billing and the financial software. And they have assigned our project manager to us, which we're excited, and we had a short conversation over the phone. So we have scheduled on June 24th to have a longer phone conference where we're going to go over basically the in-house kind of keeping items, when and where and how, for the schedule and how we're going to proceed with the implementation further. We will be contacting Logix to kind of openly discuss how we're going to convert our data and hoping that they're going to work with us and help us to move from Logix to Tyler all what we have accumulated in our current software. Also, I have discussed today our audit dates with Leslie Michalik from PKS & Company, and we have set preliminary audit for July 29th through 30th, and then we have our main audit week falling on, I believe it's the second week of September, right after the Labor Day, September 9th through 11th, I think so. Laura and I visited Philadelphia, Pennsylvania for Finance Officers Association conference, and it was very intense, very interesting. A lot of things were covered for health and wellness programs. A lot of it was for pension and Affordable Care Act. Also a lot of it for GASB updates, which is basically financial audits. So I just want to thank you for the opportunity. It was very interesting. That's all I have for tonight.
Do you think it was worth the time and effort?
Absolutely.
And the calls?
Yes. Okay. The main thing that we get to meet with people from different cities and different counties, and they have different view on things that we're already doing, but from their perspective. I discussed with a lady from Michigan. They just implemented the Tyler technology, and we will be communicating to each other through the whole process, so she will be my kind of resource, what not to do and what to do better ways. So it's very helpful.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Natalie? Next is Administrative Services Director Mary Bolin.
The end of this week, this Friday, is the deadline for the summer issue of the newsletter. Hopefully that will be out at the end of next week. There will be a fair bit of information in there regarding Beat the Peak, what the program does, what it means, how to participate, all of that kind of thing. So we're hoping that all the information we're putting out about that program does inspire a lot of participation when we start actually implementing Beat the Peak, probably later this summer.
Great. Okay, thank you. Next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a few things to report on. Number five, Gray Street, we had to relocate an underground electric service there. There was a new deck that was installed on the back of the house, and the meter base was actually going to end up being inside the deck area, which was going to be screened. So we informed the owner that we had to relocate the service to the outside of the deck so we could have access to the meter. Also, 300 Esham Avenue, there's a new solar system that was installed on that property, which we installed a net meter on that service. And also, Cannery Village, last week we started the installation of the temporary permanent service to the construction trailer, which is also going to be used as one of the source feeds for the development as you enter on the left-hand side. So basically, we could run the service for the temporary to the trailer, but it'll also eventually become the permanent service that serves the left side of the development as you enter. Then also we had a power outage that occurred on the evening of Thursday, the 4th of June, which every time we have an outage like that, I try to send out an email to the mayor and all the councils so they know what the cause of the outage was and how long it took us to restore the power. That happened to be a tree that had fell behind Atkins Hardware. It was about 15 to 20 feet off of the power lines on private property, Basically, and the tree was rotten, and I guess from all the rain and the wind and everything, it loosened the ground up and it fell over into the power line. Once we were able to clear it, we were able to bring the restore the power to that area. Also, the new phone system is basically complete, the installation, the police department. Last phone that we had to do was the phone in the ditch dispatch office, which we had a few issues with that. It was changed out on Friday, and over the weekend we found out there was a few problems, and from what I understand, they got that solved today and got that straightened out. Other than that, all the phones have been replaced, and there's a few little issues we're still dealing with, and then that'll be completed at that point. Also, the Touch a Truck event, as far as I could tell, turned out to be a great success. It seemed like there was a lot more people there this year. The kids had a great time. They definitely enjoyed the K-9 demonstration. I want to thank you, Chief, for that. They loved watching the dog, and they were very interested in, you know, demonstrating the equipment. We actually let them operate some of them. The Powertown display that we use there, that is the actual display that belongs to the town of Berlin. It came in the day before the event, and I was glad to see it show up, so we were able to use it during that event. Vicki? What you're looking at here, there's going to be a PO that you're going to see for the paving of the parking lot down at Schoolfield Street. This is the left side of the driveway as you enter through the gate. It's so bad, the concrete is actually deteriorating. Okay. This is looking from the gate, looking down towards the parking lot to the back of the lot. You can see the big separation in the asphalt. As you go down through there, the parking lot is 26 years old. It's never been sealed. And basically, when it rains really hard, you can actually watch the rain or the water come up through the pavement. That's how bad a condition it's in. This is closer to the bays where we drive our trucks in. You can see where it's breaking apart and cracking up. And then on the other, Vicki, do you have a picture of the pole barn on the other side?
No.
Okay, you don't? On the other side of the parking lot, we have what's called a pole barn over there. That's where we store all the wire and things like that. About a month ago, we went over there to lift a reel of wire up, and the forklift actually sank through the parking lot.
It's been that hot day.
Yeah. No, it was actually from moisture underneath of it. It was just like a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
When we drove the forklift over there, the front wheels actually went down into the asphalt. That's how spongy it was. So what I'm recommending is you'll see a PO in there. We went out and we had three vendors that gave us a bid on it, and out of those three, the one that we chose was the one that you'll see that we're recommending there.
I just have one question, Tim, and I'm not trying to
yes, ma'am.
Rain on your parade, but did we consider making some of that parking lot pervious?
Laura actually spoke to me about that issue. That is something I really didn't think about, but I mean, I guess it could be done. It depends on how much weight it can withstand. I'm not sure what the conditions are for that type of
situation. Well, I noticed like some parking lots, they do some of it pavement, and then the remaining part is that pervious material.
Now, is that where people walk at and stuff? Is that?
I think that's more like where they park their cars, their personal vehicles, and
okay.
They have the regular pavement where all the heavy traffic, loading, unloading, and things.
Right. We have large tractor trailers mm-hmm. that come in there and deliver our mm-hmm. transformers, and they're very, very heavy.
No, I understand. I was just thinking that, you know, we're promoting that with the public mm-hmm. to help with their stormwater utility fees, you know, the more pervious they
I could actually contact that company and ask them if they could look into the only problem here with our parking lot is probably 3/4 of it would have to be asphalt, because as far as the vehicles park at, most of that is on the front end up by the front door, and all the rest of the parking lot is where the large vehicles, the bucket trucks, the digger derricks run
at. You don't have a lot of room. I'm just saying maybe going forward that when mm-hmm. we talk about paving, municipal property that we could look into doing. You know, I just like to lead by example. You know, we're asking folks to try to go pervious, so we should try to see if we can't do it.
Okay. Thank you.
But no, 25 years and never been sealed. Yeah, you do need something down there.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Anything else, Tim? Okay. Next is Police Chief Arnold Downing.
Good evening, everyone. The last couple of weeks, we've had several events. As Tim has discussed, the Touch a Truck and the High Heel Race and Jazz and Blues. Plus, we've actually had thousands of beach lacrosse goers over the last weekend. So, been very busy moving around. And we expect with the better weather coming, more people, they're moving freely about. So, again, keep an eye on your neighbors and continue to go ahead and watch your speed and watch for the kids with school getting out. So, again, that's one thing that we want to go ahead and keep in our forefront. If you ever see or have any issues on the street, speeding or with parkers, definitely go ahead and give us a call.
Great. Thank you. Next is Planning Director Dave Englehart.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Briefly, we had this past Wednesday on the 3rd, we had a Historic District Commission meeting. They approved one residential addition and an addition to one of the businesses in town, and two sheds, two utility sheds on South Main Street. We've been getting quite a lot of activity on new residences lately. We have 6 new home permits in the last 3 weeks. A lot of that's driven by, there's a change to the fire code that we will have to delete an option of, I mean, a opt-out that's in our current code. That's something you'll act on, provided the Planning Commission does their recommendation on Wednesday at June 22nd's meeting. Basically, that section says we can opt out of the requirement that 1 and 2 family dwellings have sprinklers. You can no longer do that in the state of Maryland. It's illegal as of July 1st. We can't opt out anymore. So anybody who doesn't have a permit by then will have to sprinkler their new residence. We can't reach back and make everybody in town have sprinklers, but anything moving forward would have to be sprinkler for 1 and 2 family. Was already the case in multifamily where we had apartments and such. One other item that we will be having a public hearing on coming up in for looks like July 13th meeting. Mayor and Council will have to approve adoption of the FEMA flood insurance rate map that was put in place for this year. That's so we can continue to remain part of the National Flood Insurance Program. Planning Commission for this Wednesday, Ernie Girardi will be looking to, he's going to give them a presentation. He has a parcel on 346 where it meets Route 50. The parcel kind of wraps around that Delmarva power station that's there. He'd like to add that to the growth area of our comprehensive plan with an eye to annexing it into town. It is contiguous with the property of the state police barracks and the roadbed of 50, so it would be possible. The Planning Commission will get a look at that before they give the Mayor and Council a recommendation.
Question, Dave, is that the farm piece on the right past the farmhouse?
It's the produce stand.
The produce stand down, okay.
It kind of like zigzags.
Yeah, no, I know.
It goes around the Delmarva thing and then it goes back and it takes in. There's two.
There's a produce stand right there. It's like a
And there's a residence there. It's like a single wide.
Yes.
That's part of the parcel. So.
And that goes to the power plant right there. That
correct.
Section right there.
Kind of wraps around
that's
it.
That's the parcel that was for sale.
Yeah.
Yeah, had the sign.
Been for sale for quite some time. Mr. Girardi was. He told me he talked to the guy on and off over several years and kept telling him You know, and then they finally came to terms, just the way he put it to me. And then the other item we'll do is we're going to have a presentation of a site plan, just a concept plan, first look at it for the Arby's and the Royal Farms that we just did the annexation on. So we'll get Mr. Bob Hand will give the Planning Commission a look at that, what they're proposing there, and then we'll move forward from there for towards site plan approval, probably the following month, I would guess, taking in their feedback. That's about it.
When is that meeting?
It's always the second Wednesday at 6 p.m. So it's Wednesday the 10th, 6 p.m. here.
The dollar store is at Court in Snow Hill?
Well, we haven't got, Mr. Gaskell and I were talking about it earlier. He wants me to inform him as soon as I get the written notice from the court. We understand they did file for an appeal of the Board of Zoning Appeals decision. But I haven't seen nothing in writing yet. And
just the article in the paper.
Yeah, just that.
And I haven't looked at the case search yet, but I informed Dave that the procedure for filing an appeal from an administrative decision is we file a notice of appeal in the circuit court. Clerk of court is then supposed to notify the town of Berlin Board of Zoning Appeals that one of their decisions has been appealed. Once Dave gets that notice, at that point, I'll guide Dave through it, but I think this hasn't happened in his tenure yet, but he is then supposed to notify in writing each party that appealed, that appeared at that hearing, which would be Dollar General. And Atlantic General Hospital, as well as the town office. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, Dave will have to prepare a record to send to the circuit court, and then the record consists of all the documents and other papers that were submitted, as well as we have to have, and I informed Davis tonight, we have to have a transcript prepared. So I'll get a stenographer listed to Davis to actually prepare a transcript. And the initial cost of that will be paid for by Dollar General. And at that point, once the record is filed, the Dollar General folks will have 30 days to file a written memorandum citing why the decision of the Board of Zoning Appeals was an error. Once they file that, then the town will have an additional 30 days to file a response to that, to the arguments that Dollar General made, as well as Atlantic General to join in if it chooses. After all the memorandums are in, then the court will usually schedule a hearing at which it's not an evidentiary hearing, it's just an oral argument. It can be made before the court, and then the court will render its decision. So we're probably looking 4 to 6 months down the road. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Are you looking at
already? Next is Managing Director Jeff Fleetwood.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Two quick things. One, over the next couple weeks, we'll get to action what employees' desires were for health benefits to make that effective July 1. And over the next probably week to 10 days, begin the process of getting our seasonal folks on board that will start on or about July 1 of this year. That's all I have.
I do want to compliment you on the work that's been done coming up the back stairway. It's the best it's looked in 10 years.
So that compliment goes to one of our seasonals, and that's Caleb. Yeah. He's a good young man.
It looks great. And it's also very clean, which also is very nice to see. Thank you. Next is Economic and Community Development Director Ivy Wells.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have several things, actually. First, I want to start out by saying that even though the event on Saturday was somewhat of a washout, I talked to Shelley Bruder at Bruder Hill, and she said she had the busiest day of her career there. So that's pretty encouraging. And also, Shelley is the only business to take me up on my offer to apply for a Mission Main Street grant, and she needs to get 250 votes. It's a social media campaign. She needs to get 250 votes to qualify. So we had Ocean 98 help her out this morning. So I encourage everyone to go on Facebook and vote for Shelley so she can get in the pool to apply for this grant. So that's that. I had applied for a matching grant with Worcester Arts Council and received the grant last week. So from July through December, we are going to increase the number of musicians on Main Street for the second Friday night art strolls, which is really nice.
Great.
And I'm also going to have, there'll be more artists out on the street, not on the street, on the sidewalk where it's accessible, not blocking anyone. So that's really encouraging. And I've increased the amount of art in the visitor center as well. The health fair was okay. We have some improvements to do for next year. There seemed to be a disconnect between the high heel race and the health fair when people were gathering for the high heel race, which was great. I wasn't a big fan for the actual running. I think maybe a parade would be good so then nobody would get hurt. But so next year I talked to Don Denton and perhaps a co-mingling of the event where the vendors are actually outside closer to where the race is instead of all the way at the visitor center. But we were concerned with the weather.
You lucked out. You did good.
Yeah. And also Prussian Crab, they should be opening hopefully within the next 2 weeks. So that's encouraging. Leaky Pete's is open. I haven't tried it, it's very good. They are also closing their Cambridge location. It's closed as of Sunday. Their own location will be in Berlin now.
Wow. Wow. That was in there Friday night and it was packed.
They have faith in Berlin.
Was it good?
It was very good.
Yeah, we have another good restaurant in town. It's just amazing.
Working with Mary on the Heel Grant for some bike racks and also working with the with Carol Rose and the Historic District Commission. What my goal is rather than Mary and I do the research to find out what kind of bike racks we would like, I'd rather work with the Historic District Commission to decide together on what we should or what our bike rack should look like. In this way, it will save everyone's time.
I have a quick question about that. I remember we had a very informal discussion, and it's been a while, that we asked the arts and entertainment folks, rather, we did this with benches. With benches, rather than the town buying them, of course, we asked merchants to make them unique and distinctive, and it worked beautifully. Here we need to have certain standard things and varying sizes, but is there a way in which we can attempt to not make them clones?
Oh yes, oh yes.
Because it'll be very Berlin if each one has its own artistic features while meeting all safety requirements and that kind of thing.
Yes, we have actually a couple of designers working on that for us to incorporate Anchored in the Arts,
okay.
Anchor in the actual bike rack. That's why I want to make sure that they're made out of the correct material so that they'll pass Historic District guidelines.
Great. That's great.
And hopefully you'll see that heel grant at the next mayor and council meeting, though we may not have renderings of the bike racks yet.
Excellent. And I do love this idea that, again, Historic Commission, Arts and Entertainment, Economic Development are all working hand-in-hand in making Berlin a more walkable, bikeable community. And, you know, it's just the way things get done. And I think everybody adds something to it that way.
And then I met with Laura earlier, and she and I talked about, I'd like to, there's several businesses that have recently applied for the facade grant and businesses that we've already given the grant money to. And what I'd like to do is, the Maryland Main Street meetings and the Main Street conferences are so important to me, and I get all kinds of ideas. And in one community, and when I was in Atlanta, some of the buildings had a plaque that said Downtown Facade Improvement Grant Winner. Mm-hmm. And it would be nice to be able to put something small in the buildings that have received mm-hmm. money that the town has given them. And it shows that the town really cares about
that's
its
good
businesses.
Idea.
So I talked before about that. And then lastly, on a fun note, and I'll go into this in more detail at some other point, there's a... I can't remember exactly what it's called, but you stick your face in and you get your picture taken. Yeah. So what I'd like to do is and I have a meeting with the Arts Entertainment Committee tomorrow, is what I'd like to do is design something similar to this, however have it where there's adults on one side and children next to it. So in case there's two adults, that you don't have kids, you don't have two empty holes.
Right, that's a good idea. Great.
So anyway, what my thoughts were was having a woman as dressed as a bride for runaway bride, and having the gentleman dressed as our mayor with a top hat and full mayoral
splendor
dress, yes. And then for the kids, have it as Mr. and Miss Peach.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And then it would say America's Coolest Small Town at the top, and then underneath it would say Berlin, Maryland. And I'm also working with the radio station to do a hashtag contest where they would share each picture, and then whoever got the most shares would win a prize.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's all I got. I'm sorry.
That's all you got.
And where would that be? Down at the visitor
down
center?
Down at the visitor center. Secured. But I'm going to be at a Maryland Main Street meeting on Wednesday, traveling there tomorrow on the other side of the bridge. So I just wanted to make you aware of that.
Cool. Great. Thank you.
Cool.
Alrighty. Next week, we'll dive into the town administrator's report.
Yeah, my stuff's not nearly as much fun as what I'm discovering, so it's kind of hard to follow.
You got paper all this stuff, Laura.
Yeah, right. So I wanted to give you an update on Route 818. The sewer work has been completed. Right now, they're in the process of just finishing up the paving. They're going to have the contractor is going to be out on Thursday to perform the mill and overlay of the street, so it's going to look for a few days like it's a patch job. But I want you to know the intent is for them to come out. They'll do a full-on completion of it. So we're expecting to have that finished this week, if not early next week, weather dependent.
Awesome.
So that's moving along. Also, you may have noticed State Highway is in town working on sidewalks over there by Tripoli Street, and they will be coming through town and going north. I've got Jamie working on a schedule to get us a sense of what their timing is as they move through downtown, so we can let the merchants know and we can coordinate with them around our events. And so I'll let you know when I know more about that.
They're still planning to finish the triple.
That's exactly, yeah, they were there today finishing it. Jamie was out looking at it, and they're making progress. They're responsible for the retaining wall as well as finishing up the sidewalk, and then we're going to be putting sod in on Ms. Sholkoff's property. But yeah, that's the plan right now. And I also wanted to thank Natalie and the department directors for all their hard work on the budget. It's an annual rite of passage, and thanks again. Great job. So let me go ahead and go through the purchase orders. We've got purchase order number 2064 for Cross Match Technologies Incorporated for $9,951.43 for fingerprint machine replacement. Purchase order number 2381 for Harris Corporation, a maintenance contract for portable radios, $2,306.52. Purchase order number 2536 for Hills Electric Motor Service for $2,407.83. This was a Broad Street pump emergency. Purchase order number 2553, recording equipment for the new telephone system. The amount is $1,183.20. Purchase order number 2555 for Crown Point Technologies, the skills manager for annual support and maintenance. Purchase order, the amount is $1,055. Purchase order number 2724, Storage Battery Systems Incorporated, replacement batteries for the power plant, 48-volt DC system, $3,933.90. Purchase order number 2725, ERMCO 500K VA Padmont Transformer, the secondary backup transformer for all phase three pad-mounted transformers. I'll let Tim explain to you what that's all about, $9,952. Purchase order number 2737, Arts and Entertainment Main Street, reimbursement for two movie nights held in Henry Park and Stephen Decatur Parks, $1,788. And then finally, we've got purchase order number 2751 to N.R. Harrison for $40,100. This is the blacktop of the substation parking lot that Tim had mentioned earlier in his department director's report.
Is there any questions regarding any of the nine proposed purchase orders for approval? Any questions for Laura?
You said you had. She said you. I don't have any question.
Nope. Okay. All right. Do we have a motion to approve the purchase orders as proposed?
I'll make a motion to approve all nine.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham orders. To approve all nine purchase orders as recommended by the town administrator. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much.
Great, thank you.
I'm just going to very briefly, have rarely done this, but I wanted to make a just brief comment about an article in one of the local papers this week to make sure people understand where I stand on the idea that is being floated by the Bay Club. It is, anyone reading the paper, I think, could come up with a variety of possible interpretations. So I feel I can speak for myself, and I never mind speaking. and I don't mind telling people where I stand. So we're at this early stage of discussion where it's not a proposal, there is no agreement, it's not even close to being at either one of those stages. It is, however, an idea that's being floated by the Carl Freeman Associates firm, a very successful developer and based in Bethany Beach. And at this early stage of discussion, if I were to have a vote, which I do not know where I would stand on this idea. I can say without reservation that I would be much more favorably inclined if the Bay Club was immediately contiguous to the town's existing western boundary, but it's not. Any decision on the size, scale, direction, and location of the future growth of Berlin will be the result of a thoughtful, well-planned, and balanced approach that will present multiple opportunities for community involvement and discussion. It's just too important to do it any other way. And I stand by my statement that I don't think it should be the prerogative of this mayor and council or any other mayor and council in the future to make such a significant decision without a process that involves the community over time. And, you know, off the top of my head, it's as the Yogi Berra said, it's very difficult to make predictions, particularly about the future. I'd say we're probably talking about around 18 months to be able to go through this process and to bring in the folks who have backgrounds so people can propose ideas, ask questions. And the main thing is for everyone who cares, and I think that will be a lot of people in this community, to be able to say, if we do this, what are the consequences? If we do this, what are the consequences? What should we expect? And I think that the decision should be based on an informed decision by the public, and that then we should take all that information, just like we did with the strategic plan, and then as the community's elected officials, then assimilate all that information, take into account everything that's been presented, and then make a decision and make a proposal, and then have the community have an opportunity to review it. And to me, that it's just that important. And the idea that something's going to happen out there in the next few months is just, it's not going to happen. So I just want to make that clear. It's one of those things that, I think that the more people, one of my biggest concerns has been a lot of people in this community, it's my impression, still don't really realize potential growth is real. When we tried to talk about it a few years ago during the depths of the Great Recession, the reaction was, why are we even talking about this? Berlin's not going to have to worry about growth for another 20 years. Well, folks, it's 5 years later, and it's here, and we need to start getting serious about not just I think the worst thing we could do is make decisions on a case-by-case basis without a plan. Everything else we're doing in this community, every other department, everything we're doing is based on having a well-thought plan. We have a destination. We may have to, just like someone sailing a boat based on changes in conditions and the financial situation and all kinds of other, we may have to tack here and there, but we ought to always know where we're going. We haven't had that discussion yet, and I think it's critically important that we do. And I will make some proposals to the council to consider, not tomorrow, but in the new fiscal year, as to how we can have a discussion on how we go about making this decision, which I think will probably be one of the most important made in a quarter century, and it'll certainly affect where this community will be during the next quarter century.
Okay.
Yep.
Councilman Gullius?
I just have one quick thing. I got a lot of phone calls this weekend on the parking on West Street. What's the law chief there when they do the lacrosse stuff on West at the Buckingham?
No parking signs, no parking. On one side is actually parking. You don't have any parking signs. We either knew that event was coming. We actually talked to the coordinator, revising to have a parker out there and park everybody on the property as much as they could. But if you look and see, the school was preemptive at BIS. They actually put structures up where they didn't want people to park. And again, it was a lot better. So again, when you have to have cooperation right on site, you end up with a better situation. The games themselves were more concentrated. And again, in the beginning of any format, softball or any of those, you have more teams. Mm-hmm. So everybody's playing. The longer you go on, folks start going home, and the next day it's a lot less people. So we had less people last day. Everybody was at Buckingham first part of the morning playing. As soon as they switched venues, there's only three cars on Old Street. So again, they filled up real quick. It's like anything that ever happens at Buckingham, they do not have adequate parking. We can either talk to the school board and say do not allow them to have events there because, again, you do not have adequate parking. Or you go ahead. We did have the fire department come through. They made sure that they could get through the street during that time. And we were quite confident that we didn't have a public safety issue. But we were, again, we knew beforehand what the situation was going to be. Same thing had been for the last 5 years. And we would have actually pushed to move some vehicles out if we had felt that was going to be an actual public safety issue.
But they can't park in the Buckingham parking lots. Is that what you're saying, that the school
is not working? If they want to park on the grass and all those things, the school has to dictate that. It has nothing to do with us in the statement. The school does not want anyone going on a property tearing it up. So again, they're not supposed to be on the ground at all, none of the green areas. That's why it was all roped off at BIS. And again, it's zero parking at that school once you input the survey.
Okay. And then my second part is the speeding going on Broad Street and Drive, Esham. If y'all write about it, I'm talking to my two neighbors. They know who they are. I guess I'm going to have to get out in the street and stop them myself because they're going 45 mile an hour to a stop sign.
Again, we said call us. We'll go knock on the neighbor's door for you. You can go ahead and just leave that part to law enforcement. Again, call when it happens. We have the ability.
It's twice a day as they're flying down the street to school to pick up their children that don't ride the school bus.
The ones that missed the school bus.
Well, you should live on Flower Street.
you ain't
saying nothing yet.
People are calling us, telling us to do something about 113, and then yet these are the same people that are flying up and down Berlin Streets 40 mile an hour. You know, and school's getting ready to get out. The kids are going to be out there. You know, it's dangerous.
And again, when we talk to that neighbor, and again, it actually works. So again, that phone call has to be made.
Well, I got cameras now and video. I can give you the video.
Because the video 3 days later is not going to help you. That phone call right then and there is going to help. I promise.
I will call you. Trust me.
All
right. It's not about over.
Because, and again, I'll personally go knock on doors when you know the neighbor. And when
I
they
had
go,
a dog killed the other day.
Again.
You know, a kid's dog watched your dog get killed. You know, it's just, and I'm a speeder. You can look my record up. I'll tell you, I own my stuff. I'm a terrible, you know. But I have learned that when you're flying down the road 70 mile an hour and you come to a stop sign, all those people you pass going 50, 55, guess what? They're sitting at the light with me. So it doesn't, you know, the speeding doesn't get you anywhere any faster. My insurance company likes it. But I'm just concerned about the speeding going
but
on.
I think anyone who is having a problem speeding in any neighborhood,
right,
just please call the police and give them an opportunity to see what they can do.
Today, I have to stop two kids coming from school in the middle of the road on their skateboards, and I'm like, God, really? You can't be in the road with them. They look at you with the eyes this big, and I guarantee you they will not be on the street for the next week and a half for sure. They'll forget about it because they're kids. Mm-hmm. But again, if we go ahead and speak to them directly when the incident's going on, it goes all the way.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chief.
Totally.
since Lisa brought up the traffic and the speeding, just keep up the radar every now and then, and that speed box that helps on Flower Street for the school traffic in the morning and the afternoon. That's all I ask. You brought it up.
It flashes too much.
I don't have a thing.
I'm good. All right. Does anyone that's in attendance here tonight wish to address the mayor and council on any issue or concern? Does anyone from the press wish to address the mayor and council?
Move to adjourn.
Okay, we stand adjourned. Thank you very much for your attendance and patience.
Every time.
Is it?
I think someone's trying.
Every time he banged that gavel, but he didn't do it happen with public hearing. But get, oh, it's that. There's a screen going off.
She turned it.
Yeah.
Now we know.
I was wondering.
Secret's out.
What's going on here?
Bang.